Now tell the person you're talking to, say, we'll finish this conversation after church today. How many of you are glad you're in church this morning? You glad you're here this morning? Two people are glad they're here. Are you glad you're here this morning? Maybe somebody isn't. I don't know. Everybody say this. Say, developing a heart for God. Say that. I was at Covenant Church of Pittsburgh yesterday leading worship for a breakfast they had. And there was a Liberty University football player there, Harrison Hayes. And it was so funny. We're leading worship, and before they announced Harrison to come up to speak, Pastor Bill Stern, a lot of you know Pastor Bill Stern. He's Ben's pastor, Covenant. And he said, oh, before we start, he's a man's man, you know. He's like, before we start this, I just got this on my heart, and I just got to share it. He's a cool guy. And he said, I got Psalm 51:10 just in my spirit. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I'm at the piano. I'm like, and I said it out loud. I said, that's my message on Sunday. And then Harrison gets up, and he starts talking about the heart and the condition of the heart. And I said, Harrison, that's everybody's saying that message. That's the message. Developing a heart for God. You know, the word heart appears somewhere between 762 to 860 times in the Bible, depending on what version you're reading. So do you think that's an important word if it's in there that much? Do you think, yeah, right? It's an important word. Proverbs 4:23, I don't know if I have that up there, but if you have it, you can go there. In New American Standard, it says, let's read this, go. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows what? The springs of life. I like what it says in the New Living Translation. New Living Translation says it like this, read it. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines what? The course of your life. So we need to pay attention to the heart. One of the greatest compliments God ever gave a human being was what he said about David. What did he say about David? He said, David is a man, what? After my own heart. Ooh, whoa, okay. Now, just to save time, I made a little outline here. We're going to give you just a few snippets on David so you understand who we're talking about. Okay. David was born in Bethlehem. He was the youngest son of Jesse, right? He tended his family's sheep. The prophet Samuel, anybody ever read Samuel? There's some people in Samuel right now, right? Great, great to read Samuel. The prophet Samuel secretly anointed him as future king of Israel while Saul still ruled. David gained national fame when he defeated the giant Philistine warrior Goliath, using only a slingshot and a stone. Saul grew intensely jealous of David's military success and popularity. David spent years fleeing for his life as an outlaw in the wilderness, twice sparing Saul's life before Saul died in battle. Now they're fighting and all this. And what really ticked off Saul was there was a group of women who I don't think I'd ever let them come here. Do you know what they had with them? They had tambourines. Okay? I'm not anti-tambourine. I'm anti-people that don't know how to play them. That's all. You know. But anyway, so there's these ladies, and they come out with their tambourines and all that stuff, and they start singing this song because of what David did. Do you know what the song was? The song went something like this. They got their... I have a tambourine. I'm not going to get it. There's a tambourine. They said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his... Whoa, how many? 10,000. Whoa, how many did Saul get? Thousands. David did 10,000. What's going through Saul's head when he's hearing that? You know, right? Okay. So Saul grew really jealous of him. David became king. He was first over Judah and eventually over all the tribes of Israel, right? He conquered the fortress of Jerusalem, made it his political religious capital, and he brought the Ark of the Covenant there. Obed-Edom's house, right? During his reign, David committed adultery with Bathsheba. He tried to cover it up by having her husband, Uriah the Hittite, killed in battle. When confronted by the prophet Nathan, David deeply repented. I mean, he wiped him out, right? He's like, I'm committing adultery. I'm going to knock her husband out of the picture, you know? Messed up. David, he's doing some nasty stuff, right? His later years were marked by violent family consequences, including a rebellion led by his own son, Absalom, which temporarily drove David out of Jerusalem. God promised David that his royal dynasty would endure how long? Forever. In the New Testament, Jesus is frequently identified as who? The son of the guy who committed adultery and got this guy killed and all did all this bad stuff. He's the son of David. Fulfilling the prophecy that the Messiah would come from David's lineage. Now, something about David that we need to look at. David wasn't perfect, and we know that. If you read it, read it. He wasn't perfect. He failed. Anybody ever fail? He sinned. Everybody ever sin? If you didn't just say yes then, you just sin. He made terrible mistakes. Yet God said David had something special. David had his heart, right? How many of you know God's not looking for perfect people? Do you know that? Somebody said, thank God. He's looking for the surrendered hearts of his people. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for surrendered hearts. And I think one of the greatest needs in the church today is a people with hearts that beat in the same rhythm with God's heart. The Holy Spirit wants, what the Holy Spirit wants to do, he wants to shape our hearts until we desire what God desires, until we love what he loves, and until we hate what he hates. Okay? Everybody say it's a heart issue. Were you ever in a season where maybe you were dating somebody, or you had your eye, I got my eye set on you. You don't know that song. You're too young. Set on you. You got somebody on the radar, you know. Do you ever have anybody on a radar? Yeah. Matt, did you have some nice lady on the radar with you? Yeah, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. Right. And what you want to do, you think you want to capture her heart or his heart, but really you're trying to get your heart in alignment with them. Like, I got. How do I do that? You know. First of all, you look at somebody and you go, ooh. Anybody ever do that? Yeah. Ooh. Everybody go, ooh. Yeah, that's a ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Kat did that. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. See, if I say what's in my head right now, I owe her $20, so I'm deciding if I want to say it or not. No, it's not worth it. Okay, so I need money for lunch today, so we're not giving her $20. But you get this, you got your eyes set on somebody, and then what are you going to do? You want to know, what is she like? What is she like? What's he like? Ooh, where's he like to go? You know? If the guy you're trying to date hates Chinese food, the worst thing you could say, hey, come on, I'm taking you to Royal Grill in Boardman. That's the biggest one around here. No, don't do that. Oh, that's gonna, don't you know? Don't you know? Don't do that. Okay? You're gonna do whatever you can do to get your heart to align with their heart. Okay? That's why when people break up, what do they say? Oh, she broke my heart. He broke my heart, right? It's a heart issue. Everybody say it's a heart issue, right? So the Holy Spirit, he wants to take our heart and shape it to where really how you know you're developing a heart for God is when you actually desire what God desires. And when you hate what he hates. How many of you know there's some things that God hates? It says there are six things the Lord hates, seven. I like it in King James because it sounds like you're talking like Sylvester the cat. There's seven he detesteth. He detesteth, right? And sometimes King James words are fun, okay? I like some King James words. Now, when you get time, read 1 Samuel 16, and I think it goes through about 1 Kings chapter 2. Read that this week, 1 Samuel 16, all the way through to 1 Kings chapter 2, and you'll see what we're talking about today. Let's look at 1 Samuel 13, 14. It says this, and I added some words in here so you understand who's the people that we're talking about. But now your kingdom, that's King Saul, shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man, what? After his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people. Why? Because you have not kept what the Lord God commanded you. In Acts 13, 22, it says this. After he is God, right, had removed him, that's King Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, read, I have found David, the son of A, who will do all my will. Now, we have to look at Saul and look at David. Now, Saul decided in his self to be a people pleaser, first of all. David was chosen by God's standard. He was the youngest son, originally this little shepherd dude. But he was described as a man after God's own heart. Saul ruled by the fear of man, insecurity, jealousy, especially toward David, right? And he sought human praise and built monuments to himself. Oh my. David trusted God for his position. He showed mercy and spared Saul's life twice, acting out of loyalty and reliance for God. And here's one thing. Here's where a heart issue differs. Saul defended his actions. He made excuses. He blamed everybody else when confronted by, you know, Prophet Samuel says, hey, what's going on? He goes, well, it was him, and it was him, and it was because of this. He's in counseling, we call that blame shifting. David acknowledged his wrongdoing openly. He accepted the consequences, and he asked God for mercy and forgiveness, right? So what do we learn from David? And we're going somewhere. He didn't blame other people. He fell on his face before God. And he said what? He said, create in me a clean heart. Why did he say that? Because he knew the heart he had wasn't. So he fell on his face before God. Have you ever fallen on your face before God? Have you ever cried out to God? Have you ever cried out to God? There's something that happens when your heart gets aligned with him. You cry out. You know. This is not what cry out to God looks like. Do you ever see the guy on Facebook? He's like, there's the worshiper, like, carry the TV. Have you seen that? Change the light bulb. You guys don't watch crazy stuff like I do. You just can't help it. You get hooked into those reels and you can't stop. You know, like that's just funny no matter who you are. But crying out to God is not this little quiet prayer thing. I mean, it's loud. I can't do it. I have a mic on. If I did it, the live Erica would go crazy because the live stream would just peak off, okay? But have you ever cried out to God? Okay, this is what's happening here, right? The difference between Saul and David wasn't perfection. See, Saul had this fake thing going on, this image, right? But it was repentance with David, right? Everybody say repentance. See, Saul justified himself, but David humbled himself. And one thing that we don't always get a grip on is what repentance actually means. Repentance means my heart is changed. Change how you think. It's the word metaneu. Everybody say that. Metaneu, metaneu. Just think of, there's this guy named Aneu, and you just met him. Sorry, Kat, that was funny to me. Metaneu, metaneu, okay? Metaneu. Everybody say metaneu. That means change how you think, okay? So I have to change how I think. What repentance is not is, oh, man, I just got busted. That's not repentance. You know what that is? That's, oh, man, I just got busted. Have you ever experienced in your own life, oh, man, I just got busted? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've got, you know. That used to happen with me as a kid. And when it happened with me as a kid, something came out. I don't know where my mom kept these things, but she would get this long. It was an orange Hot Wheel track. And boom, yeah, those things would sting. They stang when she just, and my mom was this little, I mean, she's like this tall man, you know, but she ruled the world with orange Hot Wheel tracks and made my turn red. Okay, so she did that. That's just what she did, man. She beat me. She beat me. I didn't realize I could have reported her as a kid. I didn't know that. Dude, we didn't have that kind of stuff when we were kids. They were like, poof, you know? Now, oh, don't, yeah. You know? Let Johnny go. Let's discuss it with them. Let's have a discussion. Come on, spare the rod. You get spoiled milk, right? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Don't beat your kids. We know better. So David humbled himself. The Holy Spirit is who, when he touches us, really reveals our condition. And that's what was happening with David, right? Now, here's an important part about how the heart of God works. And we need to get a grip on this morning. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. Everybody say conviction. Not condemnation. Okay, what's he bring? Conviction, not condemnation. How do you know God's voice from other voices? Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for who? Those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. So the Holy Spirit does not condemn you. He convicts you. There's a difference. If you're getting condemnation or condemning thoughts in your head, I can tell you, you might not know how to hear God's voice. That's not God's voice. He doesn't condemn you. He convicts you. The Holy Spirit convicts you. So conviction's not condemnation. Condemnation, I think, pushes us away from God, and conviction pulls us back into the Father's arms and puts us closer to his heart. Right? In the words of Pastor Ben, are you breathing? Our heart is the receptor of the voice of God. Say that. Our heart is the receptor of the voice of God. Your mind can play tricks on you. Do you ever hear, I can't think of who it was, but who was it a long time ago? There was like an angel over here and the devil over here. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you old timers, anybody over 50 know what I'm talking about. And then they'd say, the angel's saying one thing, and the devil's saying one thing, and they're listening to both voices. How do you know the voice of God? The voice of God speaks to your heart, okay? The enemy can put weird thoughts in your head. He can throw something in your mind and get your, you know, somebody once said what, an idle mind is the devil's playground. You get an idle mind. You start watching stuff you shouldn't watch. You start listening to stuff you shouldn't be listening to, and you're going to open your mind up for some stuff. Then you're going to have some voices talking in there in your head. And then you go, I don't know. Is this God? Is this me? What's going on in my head? Okay. Thank God that God looks at the heart. He said, he doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the heart. Because if your heart's right with God and you develop a heart for him, it's crazy how it's just going to work out. It's going to be not necessarily easier, but you have a heart for God. It's going to prevent you from doing stupid stuff, you know? I know some people that are stuck on stupid. You try to get them unstuck, and the only way to get them unstuck is to show them ways and say, you need to seek after God and not after your own. You know, we get so distracted with all this other stuff, you know? And sometimes God speaks like this. Sometimes he doesn't holler. And if you're not listening well enough, you might miss it. Okay? Did you hear what I said? Who didn't hear what I said? So, oh, good. We have one honest person in the room that said, I don't know what you're talking about. I was talking softly. I'm sanguine, ADHD, ADD, DVD, CD, BVD. I'm all those words, so I can't even remember what I said. But sometimes he speaks in this still small voice, and if you're too loud, you're going to miss it. Maybe that's why he says, when you pray, go in the closet, shut the door. You know, I'd like to suggest, can I suggest, shut the door means shut out all that noise. Get alone with God. Have you had alone time with God? You know how you know the devil's trying to set you up for a trap? When you get so busy and it's like Friday and you go, I've never gotten into my closet and shut the door, so to speak. Wherever your closet is, it could be in your car. Sometimes my closet is my car because when I'm in my car, there's nobody else with me usually. So I have time to kind of like, ooh, okay, Lord, you know. Sometimes I have a spot. Do you have an altar in your house? You know where my altar is? It's kind of funny. We walk over it all the time. It's the second step going upstairs. And sometimes when I'm really like in this moment, I'll sit like this and my feet are up against that wall. That's my encounter. Ooh, Mark's on the second step. Don't go up the steps. So he's doing something. That's my spot. Do you have a spot? Have a spot. You know, we built a spot in the church. It's the altar. It's where we come, you know. And this isn't just where you come. You know, back in our day, if somebody came to the altar, we're like, oh, what did Joe do this week? Yeah, you know, it was like this weird play. Don't go to the altar unless you're like this, you know, god-awful sinner that, what did he, oh, he must have slipped up this week. Look, he's going, no. This is where we come to rejoice. It's where we come to get healed. It's where we come to get set free. Do you have to come here? No, your altar could be right where you're sitting. You know, it's just we made a spot where we could come up. There's something about when you come up, you know, when you take a step. It's called a step of faith. When you step out, God does something. It says, hey, I want to get closer to you. Now, let's look at this. Psalm 24:3. We're going somewhere. Here's a question. What's the question? What's the question? Who may ascend onto the mountain of the Lord? What's the question? Who may ascend onto the mountain of the Lord and stand in his holy place? Verse 4 is the answer. What's the answer? Read. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. That's what it says, right? He who has clean hands. Everybody say clean hands. Say pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to what is false, nor has sworn oaths deceitfully. Verse 5 says, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, this is the generation description. I'm in Amplified. Amplified's a little louder, more words. Of those who, what? Diligently seek him and require him, what? As their what? As their greatest need, who seek your face even as did Jacob. What's the next word? So, who diligently seek him and require him as their greatest need, who seek your face, even as did Jacob. Selah. You know what Selah means, actually? Do you know what it means? It means you read something, you say something, and then you get this. It's really a musical interlude. If you look at it, it says musical interlude. Stop and think about this. Well, pause, okay? How many of you know there are times in God when you get closer to his heart and he says something or you experience something, you just have to go. Do you ever have Selah moments? We practice Selah moments kind of when we eat. You ever go to a buffet and you're eating? There used to be that one up in Boardman. What was the name of that one? I called it something wrong. I shouldn't have called it that, but I called it the hog trough, but I couldn't remember what it was called. What was it called again? Golden Corral. It's called a corral. Okay, yeah. That's a dead giveaway right there. Okay. But you go, then you eat and you go, whoo. That sounded like a drum. I shouldn't do that. So you go, wow, man, I ate a lot. You know, Selah, you know, when we go to a good restaurant and we like to go to good restaurants and take a minute, you know, people that eat and go, well, slow down, enjoy the food, you know, enjoy, Selah, take a break, okay? You need to rest, take a rest. You really, if you haven't heard Pastor Ben's message on rest, you need to get that. It's online, it's on Spotify, and Glorify, and Purify, and all those other fives. It's all over the internet, go look at it, look on our website. Listen to that message on rest. There's sometimes you need to have a Selah moment, especially when you get closer to God's heart. You know, we get uncomfortable with Selah moments because Selah moments sometimes look and sound like this. Let's see, Pastor Shane couldn't even stand that Selah moment. He did some hand raise. Well, I don't know what that was back. I don't know what he did. And Emma was laughing at him. She's got her hand over his mouth. You know, that's the woman who lives with him that I talked about earlier. So there's times that you have to have this Selah moment where you just go, I'm here. You know, there's times that like Kat and I can be together. And I don't get all mushy in public or anything, but there's times you don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. You can just be like, you know, it's like, that's nice. What's nice? Oh, I'm just here, just with you. Okay. What do you want? You know? Nothing. I just want to be with you, you know? There's sometimes in God, when you get a heart after God, there's times you don't even have to say anything. You can just be with him, you know? Right? Anybody ever experienced that? Right? It says, who diligently seek him and require him as what? Their greatest need. Is the heart of God and God himself. See, if you have your heart of God, that's God himself. Can't separate his heart from himself, right? If that's your greatest need, nothing else can be. What's your greatest need? Oh, I got to get a job. Well, okay, get a job. Hurry up, get a job. Get a job. And then get back to the heart of God. I need a wife. I need a husband. Get one. Well, maybe we won't say that for that. Let that go for a while. Car, whatever it is. Is your greatest need him? See, I asked Bishop Garlington. I said, he comes back from Africa, right? And he's telling us about all this stuff that happened. I mean, bona fide miracles. I mean, I'm talking like crazy stuff that you've never heard of in the United States. I mean, you know, it's just amazing. And I said, Bishop, why is it that that stuff happens all the time in Africa? And sometimes it appears to be on rare occasion here. You know what he said? He said, oh, two things. Right off the top, he didn't have to think twice. He said, they're hungry. And they're desperate. Hungry? Everybody say hungry? And desperate. Say hungry. Mike, sorry, there we go. I was preaching to these people in Quetta, Pakistan, this week. They're very close to the Afghanistan border. These people, and it was where my message started formulating. You talk about people after God's heart. You know, the one scripture says, I seek hard after my soul. It seeks hard after you. I said, okay, we had a little pre-meeting for the service. I said, okay, so how's the service go? What are you going to do? He goes, yeah, we start at 7 o'clock my time. You know, there are 10 hours difference. But you will speak at 10 o'clock our time. Why? They have 2 hours. Everybody say 2 hours of worship. Before anything else happens, they worship for 2 hours, right? Then he said, and then you will preach for 45 minutes, and then you will, sorry, Pastor Samar, if you're watching this online, that's not how you talk. I know that, but that's my accent. And so we had 2 hours of worship, which is amazing, you know. Most of the people, when they worship, they take their shoes off. It's funny to watch cultures, you know. They take their shoes off, you know. Why do they take their shoes off? We are standing on holy ground, right? And they take their shoes off. They're worshiping God, you know. They have rugs all over the place too, so they're worshiping God. And then we preached 45 minutes, and then he said, we are going to pray for about 30 minutes. Okay, so far we're 2 hours plus 45 plus 30, carry the one. This is going to be a long service, right? How many of you know, it's funny, it blows my mind. This shows you where your heart is. If you love and you can endure a three-hour movie at Royal Cinema or wherever those places are, I'm not a movie guy. I fall asleep. I can't do movies unless it's real captivating. Let me come to church. Pastor Shane better be done by noon because my pie is going to burn my oven. And if I got to get home, get my stuff going, I got stuff to do. Right? Is that how we ever get? You ever think that way? Don't raise your hand because you know we all do sometimes. You know, where's your heart? You know, I got to go golfing. I'm not going to be at church Sunday. I'm going, where's your heart? Where's your heart? You know? Can't stand to be around him for more than 5 minutes. Well, your heart's probably in the wrong. Hopefully, that's not your husband or anything. No, I'm not. Don't look at people. But then, if my heart's there, like, can you? How long can you stay in a place? How long can you stay in the presence of God? How long can you sing the same words over and over and over? Can you do that for a long time? Oh, that tells you where your heart is. That's where your heart is. If you're flipping on your phone, if you're looking at your watching, I'm bored, or if you sneeze or whatever else you do, and so you can't interrupt me. I just incorporate it. So where's your heart? It's a heart issue, right? Okay. So where's your heart? You know. The disciples were with Jesus, right? They watched him. What's he doing? We want to be like that guy. What's he doing? So he says, hey, we're going to have a prayer meeting. And so I want you guys to come. And they all come. And Jesus said, come with me. We're going to go away from the people. We're going to pray. Okay? And so they're all praying. And they're in the garden. And they're praying with Jesus. And they go, oh, yes, we're praying. Hallelujah. Carry the TV, light the light bulbs, all that stuff. That's a really good snore if I say something so. And Jesus says something. What's he say? You're sleeping and you're, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he says something really profound. And don't every word's important. Everybody say every word's important. He says this. He says, can you not pray 1 hour? What's that insinuate? He's used to praying hours. They can't even make it past 5 minutes. Don't start praying when you're laying in bed with that my pillow behind your head and you got your, you know, your bed set on your number system on your bed and you're all cozy with the air on. Don't, that's not a good time to pray because you're going to, I can't do that. I can't pray like that. I can't read my Bible before I go to bed because I'm, you know, snoring in the presence and all that stuff. I can't do that. I don't like that. He said, can you not pray 1 hour? Where's your heart? You can't talk to the Father for more than 2 minutes. Some of us, sometimes we have trouble. If you're not used to talking to somebody, it's very awkward. Do you ever realize that? If you're not used to talking to somebody and I say, hey, talk to him, that's kind of strange, right? Because this is what happens. If we don't know somebody, I love it. This happens to us. We travel a lot, and Kat usually gets nervous when we get in an elevator with people just because I love getting in elevators with strangers. And because you do this, here, stand up. You know, you get in the elevator and the doors close. Everybody looks up there. Why are they looking up there? They don't care what floor they're on. They're going, 5, 4, how long am I going to be in this room with somebody that I don't know, right? What's that? Speakers and terrible music, elevator music, right? And so sometimes I'll be in an elevator and I'll just be like, there's a bunch of people, and I go, so I bet you're all wondering why I called this meeting in here today. Kat's like, she does this. You know? Or she'll go. You know what that means? Do you ever get literally, it's called the cat eye in my house. I get the cat eye. That means I do this. I don't know how they do it. He's all one, so I do this. It's fun. So how many do you get in presence of God and he says, pray? And you go, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray, Lord, my soul keep it. If I die before I wake, pray, Lord, my soul take. That was only 3 seconds, you know? If you're really close to somebody, you can talk to them for hours, you know? I have people that call me on the phone that talk for hours, you know? I'm not always listening to them. Sometimes I'll walk away and go, kind of go, who are you talking to? I'll say, oh, it's my brother. He's just going, uh-huh, yep. Yeah, it's my brother, Jerry. He's just talking, yep, uh-huh. Yeah, because I'm not really into it. I'm not into it, okay? But when my heart is into it, is somebody I love or is one of my spiritual sons or something, I'm like, I talk to them all day, right? Okay, right? Are you with me? Okay, here we go. We're gonna fly and land this plane. Hey, Ben. Hey, you know what? Okay. Now, I said earlier, I really like that word. I guess there's one time I didn't. Is that no? He knows. See, we have a good relationship, so he has a license to do that. Oh, we got to move. Let's read this verse in tongues. Here we go. Psalm 51 says this, have mercy on me, O God. This is what David said, and it's important to read what's at the top of this. It says, for the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Hey, Ben, would you come up? Says this, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from your sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right with your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth. Watch this. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Read. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. Watch this. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. He's teaching you stuff before you even show up outside the womb, right? Cleanse me. I love this. We don't have time to go there. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquity. How many of you know David danced before the Lord with all his might? He knew his kingship, but he also knew the importance of heartfelt worship. I mean, you know, worship is something that'll bring you right to the heart of God sometimes. Did it ever do that to you? David's worship wasn't performance, it was passion, because he had a heart for God. He understood something that many, I don't think, discover. Where God's presence is, and you get your heart for him, chains sometimes just seem like they just fall. They're gone. Just you're right by his heart. Your heart, you know, like John, right there. He could hear the heartbeat of God. Did you ever have your head on somebody's chest and you hear the thum, thum, thum? You can actually hear the heartbeat? That's pretty close. You don't hear somebody's heartbeat unless you're really close. Where God's presence is, when your heart gets close to his heart, your heart heals. Did you hear me? When your heart gets close to his heart, your heart heals. How many of you ever had a broken heart, a crushed heart? You know, there's some people that if, especially if you're a compassion person, and they know you're all heart, you get taken advantage of sometimes. Then you go through life like on eggshells. Oh, somebody right now, huh? Somebody right now, God's healing your heart. Because just because I'm saying this, you're getting close to God's heart. Just say this inside yourself. Say, bring me to your heart, God. And he's going to heal your heart. There are hearts being healed in this room right now. I just sense it right now. There it is. There it is. Ah, there it is. There it is. I am not lying. I can see it. I can see it. There are hearts. I could say, and I don't want to say names because this is a heart thing. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing hearts in this room, Lord, that are going to bring our hearts closer to your heart. When your heart gets close to him, your life is transformed. When your heart gets close to his heart, healing virtue comes from him, and miracles happen when you get close to his heart. Verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God. Read it. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Read, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Read this big say, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are my Savior. And my tongue will sing better is one day in your court. This is what we say. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. That's how you know your heart's in the right spot. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than elsewhere. Say this, my heart and flesh, say. My heart and flesh cry out to you, the living God. For you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul.
I've tasted and I've seen. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. Let's stand up. Say, better is one day in your... We're not done yet. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your court. One day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere.
You develop a heart for God by worshiping. Film gets developed in a dark room. Woo. Not in all the fluff of public publicity. See, God's not looking for singers. He's looking for worshipers. John 4:23 says, the time is coming, and guess what? Now is. Everybody say, now is. Say, the time is coming, and now is. It says, indeed, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, the Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. He's looking for worshipers after His own heart. He's looking for people not afraid to throw up their hands when everyone else is looking and they don't care, and they cry out to God and say, renew my heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. The Father is actually searching this room right now. Not for talent, but for surrendered hearts that follow hard after Him. David faced Goliath with confidence. Not because he believed in himself, but because he believed the heart of God that spoke to his heart as he surrendered his heart to the Father. Everyone else saw a giant. David saw an opportunity to give God the glory. How many of you know faith changes our perspective? How many of you know faith changes our perspective? Fear says the giant's too big. Faith says, my God is greater. Somebody say, my God is greater. When does that happen? It's when we say, my heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. Let's look at this. What are some things that'll develop a heart for God? Daily prayer. Communicate with God daily, not only when faced with a problem. Daily Bible reading. Your word, the scripture says what? Have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you? Spend quiet time with the Lord. Shut out all the noise and distractions. Worship. Make worship a part of your day. And I'm telling you, use godly judgment. I'm not saying you have to listen to praise and worship every day. Watch what you listen to musically. All right? I'm telling you. I was reading Taylor Swift lyrics this week. Oh, my God.
It's disgusting, perverted. It's infusing in a cute way some really, whew, I don't want to be a recipient of that stuff. I'm telling you. I mean, watch what you listen to. Watch what you watch. Repent. Admit your mistakes. Turn away from wrong choices. Change how you think. Humble obedience. Love others. Become more like him and less like you. Oh, that's when your heart's getting close, folks. Be patient. Don't hurry. Rest in him. Ezekiel prophesied this. He said, I will give you a new heart. How many of you know the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out? How many of you want to get a heart closer to God? Do you want your heart to be close to God where you're in the same rhythm as his heart? When his heart beats fast, your heart beats fast. When his heart goes, oh, you relax, right? Some of you right now, I just heard this. You're getting a spiritual heart transplant that's coming right now. He's taking the heart of stone out. There it goes. Oh, there it goes. There it goes. Heart of stone's going out. Heart of flesh is coming in. Heart of stone's going out. All that stony stuff is going. You know how you know you have a stony heart? Oh, what are you doing here? Everything. If you have a spirit of complaining, you got a hard heart. If you got anger going on in you, that's a hard heart. There it goes. Heart of flesh. Heart of flesh. Coming to your people. There it is. There it is. Receive it. Don't take this wrong. I'm saying this to myself. I believe there's going to be some people, including myself, that are going to wake up tomorrow morning and be a lot nicer than you were today. You're going to think differently about stuff. Stuff that would get under your skin. You go, okay, God, what do you think? I know what I'm thinking about this, but I need your heart. When you got God's heart, you have his perspective. God, I need your perspective on this. Don't open your mouth until God speaks to your heart. Do you hear me? Careful what you say. Here we go. Say this. Say, search my heart. You know, Kat said, are you going to do that again? I can't help it. Well, I could help it. If you're able, would you come down? This is a corporate altar call this morning. If you're able, come down. Stand next to somebody. Somebody needs you to stand next to them. If you're able and want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. We intentionally keep seats very far back so we have room for those who are, you know, there's a point where they're walking along and two of the disciples said this. They said, did not our hearts burn within us when he taught the scriptures. He's gone. He was walking with them, and then, boop, everybody go, boop. That's what it sounded like when he left, right? That's the sound effect. Boop, he's gone. Jesus was the coolest dude. I mean, you think of Jesus. I mean, he's really cool, you know? Just walking along. He didn't say, I'll see you. He just, where'd he go? And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? It would be really cool. We're starting a club right now. Everybody, who wants to join the club? You want to join the club? Let me tell you what the club is before you. Sanguines go, yep, I'll be there. You don't even know what it is. Melancholy goes, I need to think about this a minute. It's called the Burning Hearts Society. How about that? Who's in? Who's in? Who's in the Burning Hearts Society?
did not our hearts burn within us? Will you be a member of that? Are you a member of the Burning Heart Society? It's not an official group, no. It's a group that meets with God privately through the week, and when we come together, all that stuff that was infused in us in private comes out publicly. And then you just want to worship. Say this, say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Let your heart burn this morning. Say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Time, Hosanna, Hosanna, say Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the high. Your heart burning, say Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Say this, say verse 1, say, I see the King of glory coming in clouds with fire. Coming in the clouds with fire. Whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy. Say, I see his love and mercy. Washing over, say, washing over all us. The people sing. The people sing. Here's your cue. What's it say? The people sing. Hosanna, sing it out. Say, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the highest. Revival, say this, say,
I see a near revival
stirring as we pray and seek,
stirring as we pray and seek.
We're on our knees,
we're on our knees, we're on our knees.
I see a near revival, say one more time, say,
I see a near revival.
Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest,
Hosanna in the highest,
Hosanna, say,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Heal my heart, say,
my heart and make me clean.
Open my eyes, say,
open up my eyes to the things unseen.
Show me how to love.
Show me how to love like you have loved me.
Break my heart. Say,
break my heart. What breaks yours?
Everything, say,
everything I am for your King.
my eyes,
open up my eyes to the things unseen.
Show me how
to love like you have loved me.
That's what happens when your heart changes. Break my heart, say,
break my heart for what breaks yours.
Everything, say,
everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk the earth, there's a new eternity.
Easy, say,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart completely. Remove anything that doesn't please you. Fill me fresh with the Holy Spirit. Ooh, say that again. Fill me fresh with the Holy Spirit. Ooh, one more time. Fill me fresh with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for your presence, a love for your word, a heart of repentance, and the courage to obey you in everything. Make me a person after your own heart. Let my life bring glory to you. In Jesus' name. Say,
Hosanna.
Let's sing it big. Hosanna. Let's go out on this. Say,
Hosanna in the highest.
Lift it up. Here we go.
Hosanna, say, Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna.
One last time,
Hosanna, say, Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
In the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna.
Hosanna in the highest.
Let's have a Selah moment right there. Have Selah moments this week. How you know your heart's getting closer to God? You love those Selah moments. That musical interlude, that break.
where what God said sinks in deep into your heart and becomes a part of the very fiber of who you are. One last time, real quick, Hosanna, say, easy, say, Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest,
Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Before we leave this morning, we want to bless you. We love to bless people, right? Would that guy that lives with Emma come up and bless the people? He picks on me in public, so I have to try to, I try to one-up him, but how many of you like Pastor Shane? How many of you like him? You know, you can love somebody. God said you have to love them. You know, do you ever have people in your life where you say, I love them, I don't like them? Don't ask somebody if you, do you love me? No, say, do you like me, right? Right? We want to bless you all this morning. You have a great week ahead of you as you pursue God's heart and you get closer to Him. Can we say this real quick? Let's just do this. Can we go here? Yeah, because he went there. Say this quick. Say, as the deer panteth for, say it, the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone, you alone. You alone, you alone are my strength, my strength. You alone, to you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Next verse. You're my friend.
You're my friend, and you're my brother. Eve,
sing it out.
Though you are a king,
sing some harmony. I love you. Say,
I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long.
Oh, we're going somewhere. Next verse.
I want you more.
Say,
I want you more than gold.
Only you can satisfy.
Only you can satisfy.
Sing this real big, real big. Say,
you alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eyes. You alone.
Sing it big. Say,
you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone. desire and I long to worship you.
And I long.
The deer panteth.
We're taking it up.
The water so my soul longeth after thee. You alone.
Say,
you alone are my heart's desire and I long to worship thee.
And I long.
And I long to worship thee.
And I long.
And I long to worship thee.
Would you bless us? Thank you.
Spirit, I just pray right now that as we leave this place, Lord, would we leave with hearts that hunger for you, Lord. Hearts that long to know your presence. I pray, Father, that as we even walk throughout our normal day, that our heart would be in sync with your heart, Lord. That we would encounter people and we would feel your heart for them in our heart, Lord. Lord, and I pray that we would be a body and a people that seek after your face, Lord, in our private time, God, when it's just us and you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would stir right now a hunger inside this body, Lord, for knowing you in private, Lord. I pray, Father, that everything that we might see in terms of growth publicly here would be rooted in a private prayer life, a private devotion, private hunger to you, Lord. So as we go home and we get alone with you, Lord God, I pray, Father, that your presence would invade us, that we would walk in step with your spirit and sync with your heartbeat, Lord, that your thoughts would become our thoughts and your words would become our words, Lord. We thank you for your spirit that reveals the heart and the mind, the thoughts of God to us. We pray that as we grow in you, as we grow up into Christ, that it would be for your glory, Lord. It wouldn't be to puff us up or to make us seem super spiritual, but it would be for your glory that Jesus be glorified and lifted high. We praise you. We bless you and honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Why don't you hug about 35 people?